Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Rollins, with inside of 3.5 minutes to go, takes it down low and lays it off the window and in. He wanted a foul, but he will get his points.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And the road losing streak is over. The losing streak is over. The Bucks, their first road win since November the 10th. They come in with a lopsided 111-94 holiday treat for their fans back in Milwaukee.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Yeah, it nearly lasted 2 months, but the road losing streak is finally over for the Bucks. The last road victory they had was against Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks, who, by the way, won on the road tonight, knocking off the Denver Nuggets, and that team starting to pick up some steam here in Dallas. But you got to go all the way back then, before Thanksgiving, just after Halloween, that the Bucks had won on the road. So that is one thing to check off the list. Now we move on to item number two, and that is, can you get back-to-back wins for the first time since October? Now, if you do this Friday in Memphis against the Grizzlies, that is nearly 2 months to the day since you last won consecutive games. October 26th against the Knicks and October 28th against the Golden State Warriors. Has that put the Bucks off to a 4-1 start on the season? A lot has changed since then. Injuries have certainly been a part of that, which, by the way, you got another one of those tonight. We'll get to in just a second here, but just start to play better basketball. Start to add some wins to that W column and make up some ground here in a conference that is essentially begging for anyone to go on a run. Anyone outside of the Pistons and Knicks, that is. Anyone else, the door is wide open. And I joked about it this morning on Locked On Bucks, that, you know, you hear the phrase of, well, he's a couple of days away from being a couple of days away, or a couple of weeks away from being a couple of weeks away, that you hear a lot brought up with injuries and players recovering from that. The Bucks are a team you can put in that category, that they're a couple of games away from being a couple of games away in the standings. And the more you see these things happen, the more you see in Cleveland, maybe they started to find their footing now. They're still going to be playing without Evan Mobley for a couple of weeks. They're still in the play-in tournament as we speak. But the Miami Heat have kind of cooled off after that torrid start. The Bulls were hot, then cold, now hot again. You got all these teams, the Atlanta Hawks dropping below 500. The Orlando Magic started cold, then picked up some steam, and now they've cooled off again. A number of teams in the Eastern Conference are right around 500 and not separated by a whole lot in the standings. Now, unfortunately, because the Bucks are where they are, they're not in that group. But you look back at some of those games we talked about in this very setting afterwards, games you couldn't close out, games you controlled and ultimately lost. You think about that Houston Rockets game. I wouldn't say dominated, but you controlled for large portions of the game before the Rockets just made more plays down the stretch and won the game. Especially the first game against Philly that goes to overtime and you lose it there. That's another one that you circle. You have a handful of these games, and I know every team has them. But when you're where you are right now in the standings, in the still albeit very early portion of the schedule, you just see how important every single game is. Every one of these games counts the same in the standings. And you look back at, you know, a handful of these and you say, well, if three of those went our way, you're 500 right now. And if you're 500, you're tied with Miami for eighth in the Eastern Conference. And then you're in that conversation of, hey, you're just a couple of games out of even being a four seed in the Eastern Conference. But because those games didn't go your way, because others, you know, you weren't even close or competitive in that you should have, you've put yourself in the spot where you are. Six games beneath 500, 12-18 on the season. And right now, you're three games behind the Bulls in the loss column, a game and a half in the standings, but three back in the loss column for the final spot in the play-in tournament. So you're a couple of games out of the play-in tournament, which would then put you a couple of games off of the pack. So a lot of work to be done here, but this is the opportunity for the Bucks with this schedule that sits in front of them. Now, six straight games against teams with a losing record. This one was one of them too, so seven including this game, and potentially eight, depending on where the Golden State Warriors are once you go out to San Francisco in early January. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talking text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Gary Trent Jr. injury, we'll see if there's any updates on that. But some more thoughts on this schedule that sits in front of the Bucks and what they're going to do with it. We'll dig into it next.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
-11-94, our final tonight in Indiana. The Pacers fall to the Bucks, so the eight-game road losing streak comes to an end. You win on a night where the Chicago Bulls also won, so you don't gain any ground there in the standings. But as we just talked about the standings in front of you, the Atlanta Hawks lose again. The 76ers lose. Knicks lose. That doesn't so much concern the Bucks at this point, but the Miami Heat lose. All these teams that are in the middle of the Eastern Conference standings just struggling to get out of their own way. I mean, the Raptors were, I believe, down to seventh 2 days ago. They're back up to fourth now. It just shows you all the volatility that's out there. There's no, you know, waiting on Superman and Giannis to come and just rescue you and save you from the bullet or catch you from falling here, because you're going to have to continue to play at least a week without Giannis. I know we've seen Bucks social media. Eric Name put something out there as well, some video footage of Giannis going through a 3-on-3. Doc himself said before the game tonight, like, yeah, he's doing that, but like, there's no, hey, he's close. You know, there's no update in that regard. And even as you watch the video that Eric put out there on social, I mean, it still looked like Giannis was favoring his calf or soleus, and you know, rightfully so, as you would expect at this point. And that's going to be the other thing is, look, we keep talking and pointing to getting Giannis back and what can you do when you get Giannis back. But we also need to be cognizant of the fact that I would imagine the team is going to be extra cautious with him when he returns. It's not like he's going to be playing in every single game from here on out, whenever it is he does come back. So you're going to have to find what works. We've heard Doc Rivers continue to point to finding the silver lining, and we're going to learn some things. It's imperative here in this stretch because you're going to have to find those things and lean into them. Even when Giannis is back, you know, not so much in those moments where, okay, here's where we're being cautious with him, where maybe we have a set of three games in 5 days or something along those lines, so we're going to sit him. Within games, even where Giannis is playing, in the minutes that he's off the floor, you have to find and discover things that work. So this does not simply become the Giannis show. We've seen how impactful it's been. They certainly miss it, but you need to find other things that work here. So I think realistically, the end of the trip is when you would say I could see Giannis returning then, New Year's Eve, when you take on the Washington Wizards. That's still over a week away. Tomorrow, a week from tomorrow. So it's 8 days away that we're talking about here. And it may extend into that, right? It may be the road trip where you go out west that he rejoins you, but it's still a week away at best that he's going to return. Now, the trouble is, you lose another guy tonight to injury. Didn't look like much. There was clearly contact that Gary Trent Jr. took to the calf from Pascal Siakam on a highly contested layup attempt. And he was in noticeable pain, did not essentially move, and did not try to get up, and was helped off the floor by his teammates, helped back to the locker room by Giannis, and the Bucks almost immediately ruled him out for the remainder of the game. So now we wait and see if this is another setback of another piece that goes down for this team. In his absence, I don't know how much of this, and the question wasn't really posed to Doc Rivers. I don't know how much of Ryan Rollins' minutes tonight were because Gary Trent Jr. went down, but Rollins finished with what I believe 24 minutes against the Timberwolves on Sunday night. He got up to 33 minutes off the bench tonight, and he was impactful. He was one of your best players on the floor with 23 points, zero turnovers. He had a single turnover in the loss to the Timberwolves. 10 of 15 shooting. Ryan Rollins needs to play 30 minutes, you know, 30 minutes plus. 30 minutes is the baseline that you need to be playing Ryan Rollins from here on out. I mean, for a multitude of reasons, and the two biggest ones are simple. He is one of your five best players. You know, I don't anticipate many of us thought that was going to be the case coming into the season this year. Not that nobody thought Ryan Rollins was good or couldn't make an impact on this team, but one of the five best, I don't know if we were there. He has been consistently one of, you know, even fewer than five, one of your best players all season long. But he needs to play 30-plus minutes because of that, and because, quite frankly, you just need to continue, not even see what you have. I think at this point you pretty well know what you have in Ryan Rollins, but you need to see him in more situations. You need to see how it works with Kevin Porter Jr. You'd love to see, okay, which of these two guys works better with our bigs? So let's see Ryan Rollins with Miles Turner. Let's see KPJ with Miles Turner. Let's do the same with Jericho Sims. Let's do the same with Bobby Portis. This needs to be a discovery phase of the season. And let's just, obviously we're trying to win games, but we have to find what works. Going back to what we said before, discover these things that work without Giannis so that when you do get him back, hopefully the non-Giannis minutes are not a total disaster. And the 24 minutes and what we had seen from him in recent games, that's simply not enough. You know, it is up for debate, and I know it is a very, very hot-button issue right now with Ryan Rollins being removed from the starting lineup. I get the logic in saying we need one of these guys on the floor at all times. KPJ and Ryan Rollins, these are the two guys we trust. Cole Anthony is out of the rotation for all intents and purposes and has been for some time now. These are the two guys that can facilitate the offense, that can get us organized, that can set things up. These are our two point guards, and we have frankly had a major problem with turnovers. Kevin Porter Jr. is not immune to that. He was very good tonight. But Kevin Porter Jr. coming into this game tonight had 19 turnovers in the previous three games. That's not going to get it done. We need to protect the ball, and I get that. But I think there's other ways to doing that, and there's other ways to keeping one of Rollins and KPJ on the floor at all times without removing them from the starting lineup, because I think one of the big things we learned last year that seems like it's pretty well known throughout the league, we needed to be reminded of it a season ago, is, hey, you know, I don't want to get too caught up in the starters debate of how important it is to start a game. Your minutes played and who's closing the game is always going to be more important than starting. But your starters do tend to play the most minutes. And if we learned one thing last year, it's we should probably start and lean into heavy minutes for our best players. Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins are two of your best players. They are certainly two of your five best players. Those are two guys that need to be getting extensive minutes. Now, you don't want to see opportunities come because of injury. We don't know what the status is of Gary Trent Jr. The 2 days off are going to be, I would assume, very helpful for him, but we'll see where it goes from there. But maybe, just maybe, this cracks open the door again for Ryan Rollins to put out the stat line that he did, and frankly, not just the stats, to play the way that he did tonight, to reassert himself as, hey, this guy needs to be playing heavy minutes for us going forward. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line as the Bucks again snap the road losing streak. And now the next task is to win back-to-back games for the first time in nearly 2 months. Their chance to do that is Friday night against the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll take a closer look at Memphis and the rest of the standings as we're seeing more and more games go final. 14 games played across the NBA tonight. Just the Celtics and the Warriors, the only two teams that were not playing tonight. So we'll get you up to speed on those scores and what it means for the standings after this on Bucks Talk.
A round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
For Christmas this year. 111-94, the final in Indianapolis. The Bucks take down the Pacers 2-0 now against Indiana, who has been going through it so far this season. Now, I think we had to assume Miles Turner was not going to be met with a warm reception. It felt like the boos were louder during the game than they were last time. It was obviously, and we took it, and we had a chance to hear it. I don't think you heard it on the broadcast tonight, the starting lineups or the mention of it. But I could hear it, and it wasn't as loud as it was the first time, which isn't a surprise there. But the in-game portion of it, whenever Miles Turner touched the ball, it did seem to be louder. And, you know, Miles didn't have an efficient night tonight. He missed, I believe, his first five shots, actual jump shots. Did get to double figures in scoring, but was 4 of 14 shooting, 1 of 8 on threes. It's been a challenging start to the season for Miles Turner. And I don't want to overreact and this is what you're paying 20 plus whatever it is, million dollars for. I think there's still we mentioned and used the phrase before, but I think there's still a discovery phase going on for Miles Turner and the coaching staff, frankly. I think it is fair to say the numbers that Miles Turner is putting up so far are not what you expected or hoped to see. I would think it's just as fair to say I don't know that Miles Turner has been utilized the way that I would expect him to be utilized. You know, like there's a lot of numbers that stand out with Miles Turner. The past couple of seasons, not to go too far off into the deep end here of statistics and nerddom, but the past couple of seasons, 9% of Miles Turner's field goal attempts were dunks. He has 8 dunks so far this year. I believe it was 60-some last year that he had. We're a third of the way through the season. He's on pace to finish with half as many. And yeah, you have Giannis on the team, but it's not just that. You know, Indiana used him as a roller, and we've heard Doc Rivers talk about Jericho Sims and Bobby Portis, and you think back to that stretch earlier in the season when Miles Turner wasn't playing in the fourth quarter and wasn't closing games. And we heard one of the reasons was, you know, we needed somebody that could roll. By the numbers, Miles Turner was one of the better roll men in the league last year as a rim roller. He's not getting those dunks. He's not getting those types of looks. You're seeing a lot of just sitting in the corner. And that is the challenge of sorts in a Giannis-led system, that you need your center to play a certain way. And I don't say it as a bad thing or a knock on Giannis. It's just Giannis is the guy that's going to be playing inside the three-point line, that's going to be attacking the rim, that needs some space created for him. And one of the ways you do that is by stretching the floor and having your big play beyond the three-point line. Miles Turner is capable of doing more than that. If you go and look at shot chart from a season ago versus this season, there's almost nothing in the mid-range. There is very few little bubbles and bullets that you see for made and attempted field goals near the rim and in the painted area. It's mostly threes, and you're seeing a lot more corner threes too. Miles has always been pretty good. I would say his preferred shot is the above the break three, and he's taken a decent amount of those, but you're seeing more and more corner three attempts. I get the spacing indicates that's what you're going to have to do when Giannis is on the floor, but it goes back to us saying, you know, for these next handful of games, whatever it is, if it's the next 6 or more than that, if it's somehow fewer, these games that you're going to continue to play without Giannis, you have to discover what works when he's not there. So we have things we can lean on in those moments that Giannis checks out of a game. and Miles Turner getting him back to his comfort zone and getting that shot profile and the shot diet to where it was the last few years, that's step one in pushing the numbers north for him. You know, his efficiency numbers, his scoring numbers overall. He blocked three shots tonight, too, which that had kind of disappeared from his game. He started off so well, and now it seems like he's playing further and further away from the basket defensively. So on both ends of the floor, just getting him back into that comfort zone and getting him playing the way that he has throughout his career, I think, is the big thing. But to me, it's especially around the rim, you know, the eight dunks. And to finish that point, 9% of his field goal attempts the past couple of years have been dunks. This year, it's 4. Just use him around the basket more and use him as an attacker. Use him as a roll man. Use him on those slip screens. Get him going in the mid-range. Think about how many times he killed the Bucks with those mid-range shots in two playoff series in the 20 games that these two teams played against each other the last 2 years. There's more ways. There's more juice to squeeze out of that orange for Miles Turner other than just stashing him in the corner and playing him beyond the arc. That's what I would really, really love to see here, certainly without Giannis on the floor. And even when Giannis returns, how do we start to get this going? His usage rate is 18% on the season. It was 21% in the minutes that Giannis was not on the floor, and it's dropped down to 13 or 14% in the minutes with Giannis on the floor. Again, everybody's usage rate is going to go down when they're playing with Giannis because he's the hub of the offense. But there's more that you can get out of that than what you're currently utilizing it for. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And again, step one, you won. You got one. Now you get another one, and you finally won back-to-back games for the first time in 2 months. But importantly, you snapped an 8-game road losing streak as well. Memphis Grizzlies are up next. That is on Friday night. As of this moment, Memphis is 13-16 on the season. They are winning in Utah against the Jazz, so they're very likely headed to 14-16 when you face them. But they're going to be without their big in Zach Edey. So there should be another trend that we've seen from the Bucks potentially continuing here. We'll tell you what that trend is and take a look at the rest of the scores coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
.111-94 final in Indiana. The Bucks take down the Pacers tonight and get to 12-18 on the season. They overall did a pretty good job, I would say, on the glass tonight. Is again, if I leave you with anything, it's very few things that I implore of you. If you take nothing else from this show, plus minus is not as relevant as we make it seem a lot of times. There's a lot of variables that are tied into it. Sometimes it lines up. Sometimes it doesn't really tell the story. It's fine for any supplemental reporting. It's not the end-all be-all. Losses are the most important thing to look at in the standings. Like, don't tell me a team is a game and a half out of this. Tell me how many losses they're behind that team. Or how many losses are you in front of the team? Because there's nothing you can do with that column. It's there. That's the scarlet letter that you have to wear. Wins you can add to. You can do something about that, but your losses, that's stuck with you. So the loss is the most important thing when talking about the standings. And then rebounding, the counting numbers, similar to the plus minus, sure, there is some relevancy to it. The percentages are much, much more important and tell more of the story than just telling me how many rebounds a team got in a game. That being said, I'm going to tell you, the Bucks had 48 rebounds tonight against the Pacers to their 40. So this was yet another game in this stretch of games that the Bucks have been, you know, still not where we have seen them in recent years, but better. They had a 55% rebounding rate in this game tonight. Neither team was all that good on the offensive glass. As the Bucks finished this game with an 18% offensive rebounding rate. It was 15% for the Pacers. So neither team really did a whole lot of damage there. But one of the trends we've seen from the Bucks is that number has started to grow. I don't believe they are 30th anymore in offensive rebounding rate. And in the last five games, it started to get much, much better. Starting with that Pistons game that the Bucks did win, where, oh, by the way, Giannis went down with the, as he has since told us, a soleus strain. Starting with that Pistons game, they've been much better at rebounding the ball. They've moved into the middle of the pack with their overall rebounding rate. 15th now. Still in the bottom five in offensive rebounding rate, but they've been doing a better job just securing the ball, closing out the possession, and being a better rebound. They were a dominant rebounding team for 7 years, right? 6 years, parts of last year. But that was really one of the things they hung their hat on, certainly under Mike Budenholzer. Rebounding overall, but defensive rebounding. They were great at defensive rebounding rate. They've been much better. And again, it's a small sample size. The last five games now, with this win tonight, the Bucks are number five in defensive rebounding rate. Fifth best. Overall rebounding percentage, too, they're number 13. So still not where you'd like it to be, but you're starting to see some progress. And they have consistently been sitting around a 25% offensive rebounding rate, which, not great. It's still 27th. They've been hovering around the bottom five in that category. But you just can't punt on it overall. Like, we're seeing teams that are approaching 40%. That's why offenses are doing what they're doing. And that's why it comes back to, you look at the Bucks' effective field goal percentage. In other words, like, how good are they at shooting the ball? They're number one. And yet, in offensive rating, this is a team that's been hovering around the bottom 10, middle of the pack to lower middle of the pack. And the reason for that is, yes, they're good at converting those shot attempts when they get them. They are not getting enough shot attempts. And the way to do that, a number of ways, right? But there are things you can control. Protect the basketball. If you're turning the ball over, you're not getting more shot attempts. The opponent is getting more possessions. Bucks have been pretty bad at turnover rate in the month of December. It has gone down precipitously each and every month. I believe they were eighth best at protecting the ball in the month of October. That went to, I think, 14th in November. Before tonight's game, it was 19th in December. Worse and worse and worse and worse. So if you're not getting those shots, it's twofold. You're not getting the shot. Your opponent is getting the possession and they're getting the shot. And we're seeing offenses more and more efficient. So that's one way. Forcing turnovers. The Bucks have not done that for years, right? I mean, dating back to the days of Mike Budenholzer, they were not a high turnover team because it was simple. We're going to rebound. We're going to limit your possessions by rebounding, and we're not going to foul you and put you at the free throw line. They've not been forcing turnovers for nearly a decade. And it's especially troublesome when you're not getting turnovers and you are turning the ball over. That was what we saw very early in the season. Rebounds, defensive rebounding, close the possession, secure the ball, get the rebound, and make sure the opponent doesn't get another crack at it. And then also, you can juice your numbers by getting offensive rebounds. They struggled in both of those categories. So the month of November and the first week of December, it was really everything imaginable that could go wrong and that you needed to execute on, the Bucks were not executing on. They are still, I believe, now they're number three, third worst in the league. So number, 28, in terms of the difference in true shot attempts. So again, we've gone off the deep end with some other advanced numbers, but your true shot attempt is basically when you look at how many possessions are you getting throughout the game. How many shots are you getting up there, actually? And the way it's calculated is your field goal attempts plus your free throw attempts times 0.44. And the 0.44 is simple because of and ones and technical free throws. Like, we're going to take that into account to not just broadly say, well, how many field goal attempts did you have and how many free throw attempts did you have? That's how you calculate your true shot attempts and get your true shooting percentage. The Bucks are third worst in the league when you look at the difference in their true shooting attempts versus their opponent. And the big difference where it's coming from is their own. When you look at the opponent true shot attempts per game against the Bucks, it's not actually that bad. It's not great, but it's middle of the pack. Their attempts are second worst in the league. That's the issue for this team. And that has started to get better. It's a small sample size of five games, but at this point, we'll take what we can get, and let's use this as the launching point. They've cleaned up those things. You look at each and every one of those past five, six games now. Those shot attempts, those true shot attempts are starting to even out a little bit more. The Bucks have been much better on and rebounding in general. Turnovers is the big thing. Tonight, looked like you were trending there. 11 turnovers in the second half. That's still the number one thing that you got to continue to clean up. But we're starting to see some of that progress. Now, keep it rolling. Let's secure a second straight win and then get Giannis back and start to make some noise here with the schedule that's in front of you and the struggles for the rest of the conference. Next matchup is against the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll take a closer look at the opponent there and the standings that we've talked about and where the Bucks currently sit. Who is in front of them? How far off the pace are they? We'll take a look next on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks get to head into Christmas with a win. We don't have to worry about the Bucks ruining our Christmas day because that was the... As much as I really enjoyed those Christmas Day games as somebody that grew up loving the NBA and watching those games on Christmas Day and never imagining the Bucks, let alone the team that I worked for, but the Bucks, a team that I grew up watching, would be playing on Christmas Day. There was, what, two of them that we had at home? The one, I mean, it was one and a half. Because the first one was the Warriors in 2020, right? Yes. And that was when no one was in the building. I think we had 500, 750 people that were in the arena for that. And it was essentially just team personnel and family members there. That it was the weird thing of, hey, you get your award. You get a Christmas Day game at home after two straight years playing on the road. And now you get one at home. But it's coming out of a pandemic, and there's not that many people here, and it doesn't really feel like a Christmas Day game. Then you got the next one with the Boston Celtics, and I believe that was the moment when we kind of figured out, oh, man, the Celtics are for real in the 2021-22 season, where you had just come off winning the NBA championship, and then the Celtics started to pick up some steam right around that time and eventually won the conference. But you think back to some of the other disappointments in Boston, what, the next year, when I believe that was Joe Ingles' debut, Chris Middleton had just come back too, and you just got throttled by the Celtics. The one in Philadelphia the year prior, where that was really the only blemish on that portion of the schedule, that Philly just mauled you on Christmas Day. It just kind of felt like, man, there's a lot of these losses that are starting to pile up for this team in these marquee spots here. So to not have to worry about that, I suppose, is a nice thing. New York was the first one. In New York against the Knicks, where, they had two, right, in New York against the Knicks. And they had the Giannis's first Christmas Day game when they wore the white version of the Mecca jerseys. So, yes, there were some ups. There were some downs as well with the Christmas Day slate. So they do return home tonight. And, you know, Doc put out the message there as well. We can remove how we feel about the coaching performance of Doc Rivers for a moment here and just taking the message that he gave with this. When he said the team's going to return home tonight after the game against Indiana, so they get to sleep in their own beds tonight. They'll get to, well, very late tonight, but they'll get to sleep in their own beds tomorrow night as well and get to spend Christmas Eve at home with their families. They'll leave for Memphis in the afternoon of Christmas Day. So you come home very late tonight. You get to spend a day and a half at home before going back on the road for the final three games of this five-game stretch away from Milwaukee. But his message was, we're gonna come home. We're going to be able to spend time with our families. And it's not just us. That extends to everyone. Use this time, if you can, to spend time with your family. That's what the Bucks are doing. There's some encouraging things that we've seen. But look, we got to see it consistently, I think, is the big takeaway coming out of this. Everything we pointed to, the rebounding is getting better. The shot attempts, right? That profile, everything. Like, you're starting the defense, by the way. I mean, that's the under-discussed thing in all of this is, you know, defensively, they have played more than well enough to win a lot of these games. The offense is where you need to see more of that improvement. Defensive rating over the last few games, I would venture to guess, is in the top 10. They've been good. It's just the offensive rating. You've got to start to see some movement on here if you're the Bucks, because I would, just as good as the defense is, I would guess the offense has been one of the worst in the league over that same stretch. So let's continue to move those numbers in the right direction. Hopefully you get Giannis back in about a week. Just plan on to be safe. But the schedule is the most important part here. Seven straight games, starting with tonight against a team that is going to have a losing record, and it's potentially eight, depending on what happens with the Golden State Warriors by the time you get out there in early January. That includes your next opponent, the Memphis Grizzlies, who did win tonight, or in the process of winning with 16 seconds left. So they are going to be 14-16 when you play them. They're going to be without their big, though, in Zach Edey. So this schedule, this is it. It's now or never. This is your time to start to make some movement here and make up some ground and put yourself in a good spot for Giannis's return. Hope everybody has a very happy, healthy, and safe holidays here over the course of the next couple of days. And as we mentioned, the message from Doc Rivers as well, if you're able to take some time to spend it with your families. We will be back Friday night, Bucks in Memphis taking on the Grizzlies. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when the pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you Friday night.